You are now listening to the newest wrestling podcast about to take over the nation. The newest podcast that'll make you rethink, reimagine, redefine the wrestling ideas, the wrestling discussion, and the wrestling debates that you were so used to thinking of. All these new ideas, thoughts, and debates will make you just want to scream.
Oh my God!
This is the Atlantic Angle Podcast with your hosts, Zach and Gibby, and Oliver Norgrove. Welcome, everybody, to the Atlantic Angle. I'm your host, Zach McGibby, alongside Oliver Norgrove, bringing you the second ever edition of the Atlantic Angle. And now, for the first time ever, it's on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. How do you feel about that, Oliver?
Yeah, man, that's exciting. I'm pleased with that. And I was expecting that to take a lot longer than it actually did. It was actually pretty easy to set up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was also pleasantly surprised. I thought maybe it was going to go a little bit longer, maybe wait a couple of weeks, but we waited about 2 days.
Yeah, it was quite weird. It was like 24 hours, 48 hours for both. So I was pretty pleased with that, and hopefully that means people will start listening to us, a little bit more. How are you anyway?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Had a bit of a slower day today, but glad to be recording here for the Atlantic Angle. How about you, Ollie?
I'm okay. I'm in pain though, because I had a leg day in the gym today. So yeah, I'm in quite a lot of pain at this point. So, but I'm still here because I'm a passionate guy. So I'm still here. And I'd also like to thank everybody for their really insightful, really intelligent help on Twitter this evening so far. Especially, yeah, we've had some really insightful questions. And how would you describe it?
There are definitely some interesting questions, but hey, questions are questions, and we're definitely going to be answering them. There is definitely some good questions, and then there's some where you're like, there's one question in particular that just made us question about our wrestling fandom. So,
and our lives,
yeah, and our lives, and our future, and just everything in between. So anyways, if you guys want to send us questions, you can tweet them to us at Atlantic Angle. You can also email us if you really want to get a long question in, or if you don't have Twitter, you can email us theatlanticangle@gmail.com. We'll be looking over those. We currently don't have any questions as far as I'm checking right now, for the Atlantic Angle Gmail. So a lot of our questions primarily come from Twitter, but again, just go send an email to theatlanticangle@gmail.com, and we will definitely answer it. Maybe we'll start accepting opinions soon. Just like to hear your opinions heard. Just want to make this a user experience podcast, you know. So
yeah, and obviously it would be good to get eventually maybe have some like guests on and stuff like that. So I think that would be pretty good to be kind of more interactive with listeners and stuff like that. So maybe that happens, that could be something interesting to get involved with down the line. Did you enjoy Raw this week?
You know, it was definitely a lot better than last week's Raw.
I'm struggling to remember it, I'm not gonna lie to you. It will come back as we talk, but I'm struggling to remember it, and that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, well, It's interesting how we remember the very awful shows, and then we don't really remember the average shows. Because we're just so used to the awful shows recently that it's just been brutal. And then we get a moderate to pretty good show, and then we're kind of just stunned.
Well,
really. We're
stunned. Moderate is forgettable at this point, I think. I might have to get up some results for Raw, because I'm really struggling here. The show started with what did you think of the triple threat match that started off the show? What was that last week?
No, this was the triple threat match, the Intercontinental Championship match. This was pretty good. That was
yeah, the show peaked in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. That was the match of the show, though, as far as it was very exciting. I was interested in seeing Cesaro in that Intercontinental Championship match. And all three guys really had good chemistry in the ring. I don't know about you.
Yeah, they do all have good chemistry in the ring, actually, because I don't think, yeah, they all mesh well. They all have that ability to put on really good matches, and they're all really talented in the ring. So you can't really go wrong with having those three in the ring. Cesaro, I mean, actually, for me, I actually thought with the hot potato that the title has become. I was actually thinking they might do some strange swerve and actually just shove the belt on Cesaro just to surprise everybody again. I was thinking that could be a possibility. It didn't happen though, and we got Ziggler. What did you did you what do you, what do you what do you think about where they're going with the belt? Because it's kind of difficult because we don't often see this whole hot potato kind of storyline where belts are thrown around so often. It doesn't happen so often. So when it does, it's kind of either I think it either has to lead somewhere or otherwise it's kind of pointless, isn't it?
Yeah, this hot potatoing of the titles are. I've, honestly, I don't. I think it just, especially since it's the Intercontinental Championship, people are saying it degrades the title. How much can it be really degraded to the point where it's right now the Intercontinental title. It's all right, but like it's been degraded so many times. How much more can it really be degraded? So the fact that they're hot potatoing it makes it not so surprising to me. So I was a little surprised it didn't change hands because we've seen like three straight Intercontinental Championship matches on a Raw or a pay-per-view. So I was expecting a Cesaro win here. I was actually fully expecting a Cesaro win here just to hot potato it.
Yeah,
But I think we'll
continue
see.
that.
I think we'll see this match again at Hell in a Cell. If not, I think The Miz is going to be out of it, and maybe it'll be Ziggler and Cesaro, which could be an interesting match, but.
I'm thinking that maybe Mizdow might get involved, and he continues to make me laugh
Oh,
every single week.
Mizdow at the end of the
Backstage
match.
with Triple H, that made me laugh.
Oh, the Mizdow at the end of the match when Miz was lying down, holding onto his knee, Sandow was doing the same thing.
Oh,
Oh, it
yeah.
was so funny. Holding on to the knee. Oh, it
Yeah,
was.
that was funny.
It made me laugh. It just again, it just goes to show how great of a worker that Sandow is. Just being able to, as we said last week, make chicken salad out of chicken shit, really. So.
Yeah, his match with Sheamus was quite good as well, I think. Obviously, the as we all know, the show peaked with Rosa Mendez and Layla in the ring. Definitely, that was the high point.
This match.
How it's I Layla isn't too bad. She's nearly 40, so she looks good. Let's be honest. But Rosa Mendez, how bad is she? How bad is she? She, I think, is allergic to improvement. And she just doesn't. She's just gone absolutely nowhere. I don't know how long she's been back. A couple of months, but she's awful. I just can't stand her.
She apparently has not won a match since 2009. That just goes to show how fully invested WWE is into Rosa Mendez. It was kind of confusing seeing Tyson Kidd out there, cause with Natalya, I didn't understand really the point of having Tyson Kidd out there. If
Well, they do a little thing on NXT if you've been watching that.
oh, I know what they're doing with the NXT stuff, but still, like, why would Tyson Kidd come out to a Rosa Mendez match, really?
I don't know. Possibly just obviously, I think. Well, he was a valet, but valets are rarely important. Unless he was, I was thinking he could be doing like a stunt double for Natalya, which would be awful. But yeah, honestly, that was a little strange. I don't mind seeing Tyson Kidd though; he's okay. I have no problem with Tyson Kidd. But the match was abysmal, and that's because of obviously Rosa Mendez. I don't think Layla's too bad, but Rosa Mendez is definitely.
And it's kind of funny because Tyson Kidd was not caring about the match, and it really just like summed up what everybody was feeling when they were watching this match. Just nobody really
Oh
cared. They
yeah.
were focused on something else, It's
We were
just.
well. We were all doing the same thing at home.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at our
So,
phones,
oh
listening to
yeah,
music.
definitely.
Just.
Just trying to think. Were you surprised that the whole, what did you think of the whole Mark Henry stuff?
With the.
Bo
So this.
Dallas.
Oh, the Bo Dallas thing, yeah. The Bo Dallas thing, I was surprised that Bo Dallas won. I was very surprised. But this
Yeah,
is.
so was I.
But this is all setting up a heel run for Mark Henry, really. If he hasn't already turned
Probably.
heel. if he hasn't already turned heel, which I believe he did at main event, which I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's kind of in the gray area at the moment. Does Mark Henry, I like Mark Henry. I always have, but does he need one more heel run? I think he reminds me a little bit of Kane now, in that he just appears really soft now. He's just never been softer at this point. So I just think he needs something. Even though he's kind of on the older side and in his twilight of his career, but I just think maybe heel turn won't be too bad. Hopefully, Mark Henry, he can be entertaining. I don't know if you like him.
I've liked Mark Henry. I think Mark Henry has always been underrated in terms of mic abilities, because as we all remember with his fake retirement speech, like he totally like sold everybody, even like the marks totally bought into it, and what that turn when he laid the world's strongest slam on John Cena, that was just gold, right?
Oh yeah.
So people do, I was kind of looking forward to see Rusev and Mark Henry in terms, because Mark Henry I know can be a good promo guy, and I figured that if he's going to represent America, I think he does have the mic abilities to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the feud, he didn't really, especially that the last segment before going into the Night of Champions pay-per-view, it wasn't amazing. It could have been a hell of a lot better considering Mark Henry's talent.
It definitely wasn't amazing, no.
Yeah.
No. Talking about Raw for a second, I think Bo Dallas winning that was shocking, because obviously he's a third the size of Mark Henry, and that his finishing move is pretty weak. I mean, is that just me? It looks weak to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's weak.
He's essentially put, you know the move Stratisfaction that Trish Stratus used to use, right?
It's
the Stratisfaction on Mark Henry, which you would never think of, really.
God.
So.
Oh yeah, that brings back memories.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus. Yeah, I mean, do you want to see another heel run for Mark Henry?
Oh yeah, I think Mark Henry could definitely do well in a heel run role, and I think a heel run Mark Henry could just bring Mark Henry right back into that main event card, because he's kind of been just away from it. He's kind of been in the upper mid card, if there is even a mid card per se, but.
No, I don't think there's much of a mid card anymore. And even if what remains of it is very kind of is discreet the right word? I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard. The line there is just hard to see. It's very indistinct now, because mid card means different things sometimes to different people. And I just think that it can be hard to tell whether or not somebody's a mid carder or a jobber. That for me, there's the grey area right there. Is Damien Sandow a mid-carder as Mizdow? I don't know. Is he? I kind of.
I'd say so.
Would you say Mark Henry is a main event, or would you say he's a mid-carder?
In terms of the talents that he possesses, it's definitely main event. But in terms of the position he's in right now, I have to say in the upper mid-card range. Cause I don't really see, I don't see him as a main event guy right now, and I don't see him as a mid card guy right now. He's just right in the middle, So
I like him as a main event guy, and people kind of moan that his matches aren't technically brilliant, and that's true. But whatever. We don't need to see. We don't have to have Rollins, Brian 60-minute Iron Man matches every week on Raw. Although that would make for a pretty decent Raw.
Yeah.
that would take up a third of the show, and there would be no bollocks promotional stuff in between that. I kind of want to talk about the Authority for a little bit. But we can finish off here if you want. It's up to you. Because obviously.
We could talk about a bit of the Authority, but I believe beforehand, before this actual match, there was the Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in-ring promo, the one with the slime.
Oh, that one. Oh, that was weird. Yeah. Although Dean Ambrose did make me laugh when he said that the cruiserweight division turned out to get him.
They said the cruiserweight division out here to get me. That was funny. That was pretty funny.
And That him throwing the merchandise around is quite a good way to interact with the crowd, to be fair. It reminded me a little bit of did he remind you a little bit of Eddie Guerrero in that segment?
Yeah, it kind of did, but for some reason, it also reminded me of Crime Time for some reason, because Crime, I remember a segment where Crime Time took clothing, I think, from Lita and was just like throwing it all
Oh
over
yeah,
the
that was the
crowd.
night before she retired, I think.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, and for some reason that made me remind me of that segment. So I don't think we're gonna see Dean Ambrose in Brooklyn anytime soon,
Oh God, I hope not.
but
Yeah, Ambrose is going to be the JTG in 5 years' time, and he still managed to keep on hold of his job. Oh, crazy.
yeah.
I was just thinking about. Yeah, what did you enjoy the segment?
Yeah, it was a pretty enjoyable segment. I could tell there were some people that were thinking it was probably a silly segment, but it really it helped Dean Ambrose greatly in terms of because Chicago was just so behind Dean Ambrose in that segment. Like there wasn't a certain person they keep chanting, you know,
It
they were
was one of
chanting.
those. It was one of those segments that's deliberately set up and designed to get Ambrose more over as a baby face by putting him in some kind of humorous light. It's been
Yeah,
it, it's,
totally.
they do this. They do this with a lot of people. They did this with Cena when he turned face years ago.
Yeah.
They did this with Eddie Guerrero. They do this with a lot of people. They kind of not pander them to the crowd, but they try and do funny stuff with them, and it's fine because humor. There's always been humor in wrestling. You can't take humor out. It's just there's always been funny stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, talking of funny stuff, was I the only person who didn't find Triple H's comment funny?
What was the comment again?
The straight to DVD employment line joke thing.
I thought it was a little funny.
I thought it was hypocritical because did anyone
Yeah,
see the chaperone in cinema? No, I don't think they did.
it was a little hypocritical, but who really remembers Triple H in movies, huh?
Yeah,
Because
who for?
Miz has the movie gimmick, right? So.
Yeah, neither of them were good in movies though. That's why I thought it was a bit funny. Because realistically, they could have both said that to each other. That's why I didn't find it quite as funny. And I've just realised the raw moment I loved this week was the Luke Harper vignettes. You must have liked them too,
Yes. Oh,
to a
those were very
degree.
cool. Those were very cool.
I wrote you, you've I think you've read it. I'm not sure. I wrote an article a while back, a few weeks back, on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse about why Luke Harper is WWE's most underutilized
Yes.
talent, and I've thought that for ages. And this is exactly what I want to see. I want to see Luke Harper break out, and even. I don't know where they're going with this, but it seems to me like Bray Wyatt is going to be the guy kind of controlling him or managing him. So it's sort of like him taking a step away. And what I'm hoping to see from this is basically some kind of almost like Bray Wyatt training Harper to become the kind of male, not male authority figure, like the alpha male in the group. And then eventually there's going to be some dissension like with Triple H and Batista years ago.
Yeah.
Where they kind of collide, and I'm hoping we'll see that at WrestleMania 31.
That could be very interesting. I'm just wondering what they would do with Eric Rowan in that situation. Because Rowan is still part of that group.
I think he's kind of once that group goes, I think he's kind of doomed. I don't think not much will happen to him.
Yeah.
Not that he's awful, but he isn't as good as the other two. Definitely
Yeah,
not.
no. I mean, Rowan's kind of there with the sheet mask, right? So.
Yeah, he's got a good look. That's why he's there.
Yeah.
He's got a distinct look. His look is the only thing that keeps him around. I don't think he'll really do much. He reminds me a little bit of Luke Gallows, if you remember Luke Gallows. I think Luke Gallows and him have got kind of a few things in common. And I kind of worry for him, but. This is the thing. Luke Harper's better. I think Luke Harper's the best of the three. I have thought that for a long time. And I'm really interested in seeing where this is going. Where do you think it's going? Right
Well, I
now, this
think
I'm talking short term.
short term, I think we're gonna see a split from Luke Harper away from Bray Wyatt. I think from what I'm hearing in the promo, listening to it, it's kind of like I let him free into the world or something like that. So I don't think it's like tension within the group. I think I think it's just a very fancy way of saying that they're just going to split them up amicably, like no problems with each other. And I think they're just going to let Harper go on his own. And then, because, and in that same promo, he was kind of showing sanity. I don't know if you saw that as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like what they're going to try and do is they're going to do some sort of like thing where Luke Harper is starting to turn sane, you know? And then maybe, and maybe it's just him trying to control, like trying to get his sanity back. So it's like a mixture of him going crazy and him being normal.
I hope so, because that sounds quite interesting. Because that sounds kind of not. Yeah, it sounds kind of original. It sounds fresh, and I was surprised actually at the amount of. I don't know if you saw this, but on social media, I was seeing all these people that were linking this to Sting. Linking Bray Wyatt to Sting and Luke Harper to Sting. I can't see Sting being involved with those two. I think Sting will face Undertaker or Triple H, and that will be it, to be honest. I don't think Sting, not that it will be a bad idea, but I just don't see how you can connect Sting and Bray Wyatt or Sting and Luke Harper in a feud. Do you did you hear about this?
Yes, yeah, I saw that tweet, and I thought it was a little suspicious of him tweeting that.
Yeah.
But I do think that if Undertaker were to not come back to WrestleMania 31, I think the next likely feud would be Bray Wyatt versus Sting.
Uh huh.
And the only problem with that, obviously, is that you're bringing back Sting finally to the WWE to put over a guy. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that would be a little bit of a waste of the use of Sting, but really I'm not, like, a lot of people really want Sting back, and I've been saying it before. If people still want the Sting Undertaker match now, you're looking at a 55-year-old man versus a 50-year-old man in a
main event.
And honestly, I don't really want to see that, and especially considering how Undertaker wrestled at WrestleMania recently against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was bad. It was just kind of like nothing eventful really happened. There wasn't any of those, you know, high spots or any of those spots that were like, you know.
It was slow. I thought it was slow. Yeah. It was slow paced. It was sort of like it was like the SummerSlam match with Lesnar, but it's more uncomfortable watching it with Undertaker because he's a 50-year-old man. Exactly. So it's almost like an old man's being mugged in the street. It's like that. That's what it felt like. It was kind of uncomfortable to watch. But I disagree slightly on the fact that I do want to see Sting Undertaker, not for the fact that it's going to be a really good match. I just want to see it because then I will be able to say, you know, I saw Sting versus Undertaker. It's just one of those novelty kind of matches, like The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. Before that happened, everybody would have been saying, you know, I really want to see Rock versus Hulk Hogan, even though it probably won't be a great match, and it wasn't, but it was a great match in some respects.
Yeah, entertainment wise that match, it was pretty good.
Oh yeah.
But in other aspects of that match, it was like, you know, in terms of technical wrestling, it was definitely not a technical masterpiece, but like entertainment wise boy, it was very good. But The Sting thing, I've just, for me, just personally, I just kind of want to keep that aura of Sting of him saying, you know, of him never wrestling in WWE, and maybe like WWE utilizes that in some sort of way.
Yeah.
And just in marketing standpoint. Mm. But obviously, if they're going to market that, then they're eventually going to have Sting come in. So
yeah,
but that's just me. I totally understand why people want to see Sting come back to WWE and wrestle, but.
I think he will. I was just thinking, talking about Hulk Hogan, he made yet another botch in his promo, the old man.
Yeah.
he's so old. He's being buried by Alzheimer's is what he's doing right now. And Hulk Hogan is just so old and tired. I've just had enough of seeing him. And he looks ridiculous in pink. He looks awful in pink, I have to say.
It was a weird combo of pink, yeah.
Pink and black. Like,
the only person that could pull that off is Bret Hart.
Oh yeah, pink and black on Bret Hart would be fine, but
yeah,
not on Hogan.
But on Hogan, it was he was like trying to be Bret Hart. It was.
I don't like the Susan G. Komen link, and I don't say that disrespectfully to the foundation, because obviously it's a good foundation. I just think it comes across as WWE trying to be a really pandering and and it just comes across as WWE trying their best to appeal to as many people as possible. And the Susan G. Komen, this is what I mean. NFL do this. NFL like join up with sponsors, and you know the Premier League do it, and loads of sports and sports personalities, they do this. They join up with charities and stuff like that. It's fine because sport raises a lot of money. But wrestling, I don't think wrestling needs to do it. I really don't. It can be done, but not so glaringly, so it's overpowering. Do you not find it overpowering? Everything. The ropes needing to be pink just takes, to me, it just takes 20, that immediately takes 20% of the legitimacy out of the event. Just the ropes being pink. I have no problem with pink, but it just comes off as really pandering to me.
Yeah, I could see that, but you know, WWE needs to maintain its, you know, corporate social, you know, interaction. And still make themselves look good, because there's still people out there that look at WWE as the steroid passing, drug failing, you know, company with big guys that aren't real, you know.
Oh yeah.
So they're kind of just trying to shed off that image, you know, and kind of just, you know, their corporate social responsibility. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
They're trying to maintain their corporate social responsibility.
Mm.
So anyways, let's get right back to the Raw. Very interesting discussion. Let's get right back to the Raw. Let's go right into Brie Bella versus Cameron and Eva Marie. How about that? Let's go right into it.
I didn't watch it. I think I made myself some food during that match. And I don't blame me for doing that. Was it good? was it anything? Was there anything to it?
Well, Cameron knew how to pin, so there was something.
Whoa! Wow.
Yeah.
She's been training hard.
Yeah. Oh man, last week.
Who do you think trained her? Zach Gowen.
No. I'm trying to think who would have trained Cameron. Maybe Alicia Fox or Elena. Maybe her idols,
or Eva Marie,
That wouldn't surprise me. But
she's awful. Cameron and Eva Marie are so bad.
I can stand Eva Marie because she is kind of likable. Cameron, I just like want to like hit my head over on a wall and make a hole in it.
I think Eva Marie is more attractive, personally.
Well, yeah, but like Eva Marie, like. Like when I see Eva Marie, I think she is a genuinely nice person and all that. When I see Cameron, I just see like, and it's not even like her heel character. It's just kind of like she's just so annoying. Like
yeah,
her screaming like
she's like a schoolgirl. She's like a schoolgirl.
Yeah, exactly. She was like a freaking banshee throughout that entire match. Just screaming. It's like, apparently that's how you get yourself over now. Just scream like a banshee and,
oh god, you know,
and screw up on your pinfalls.
Oh, she's not long for WWE. She's going soon, definitely. I can't see her hanging around too much. Although, I don't actually have a problem with there being a couple of Divas matches on Raw. I don't really have a problem with that. No, I don't find that bad. It's not a bad thing. And Total Divas being plugged on Raw, that's fine as well. It's just when it becomes a bit overbearing, then it's annoying. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, six women being kind of showcased on a Raw. That's fine. It's just when it gets to the ridiculous levels of affairs and Total Divas storylines and stuff like that, that's when it gets stupid. But other than that, it was fine.
Yeah. This match itself, for some reason, it was a little shorter, and it wasn't actually too bad per se.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting a lot worse.
Oh yeah.
In terms of storyline progression, like what happened here was that Brie Bella came out, and then Nikki came out and said that she was gonna pay back Brie for all the damage that she's done her, which still makes no sense on what Brie did to Nikki. Other than, you know, something in a high school. But anyways, she said, so ever since I was in the handicap matches that you made me go through ever since you got fired, I'm putting you in a handicap match. And of course, she picked the two female wrestlers that are, you know, the most over wrestlers on the women's roster, right? So it could have been worse. It was, from what I remember, it was gracefully short, which was very good.
Well, mostly it was my
And
Giselle.
yeah, what do you think of Brie Bella's theme song? It's just, I'm
Oh.
very mixed on it. I think the Breedmode thing at the beginning is just
That's awful.
so,
Nah, that's awful.
it's like, it's ear bleeding stuff. And then the
Yeah.
actual
It's
music
like Barbie
itself,
stuff.
yeah,
It feels
the
like
actual
Barbie.
music.
And she looks like a Barbie. Brie Bella, if you
That's
notice, has a
true.
massive head. Have you noticed? She has a massive head.
Oh, now I'm looking at the picture and I
Have a look
can't
at
see
her on a
it.
picture. She looks like a, she has a massive head. She's quite
I
skinny and
see
she
it
has a big
now.
head. And
I see
her,
it now.
yeah, her music is awful. Brie mode, and then the rest is just like a, like a. Do
Techno.
you remember? Did you get the whole Friday song craze of Rebecca Black in your country?
No,
Yeah, it's doesn't it feel like something like she would sing?
yeah,
It feels like
yes.
something like that's the new Friday, Saturday, and now Brie mode. That's
Yeah.
the kind of link. No, her music isn't good.
Oh man.
God.
But yeah, it was painfully short and it was just, on a storytelling level, I guess it was okay. But this feud, like, it has really, really gone downhill from like a major feud to now just your standard Divas
I
feud.
just want to see just close up the feud. Don't leave it lingering and confusing. Just close it up. Leave, you know, stick Nikki and Brie Bella in a match at Hell in a Cell, and then just end the feud there. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because there's no point. There's no point leaving it kind of ambiguous and you know, open and just with no conclusion, because that's confusing. So yeah, just I would just stick them in a match at Hell in a Cell and have it ended. Have it end there.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next segment, which was probably even better than the Diva segment. We had Los Matadors versus Slater Gator. And we had Hornswoggle come out in a alligator costume.
Yeah, and I went to the kitchen. Yeah.
I just debated with myself, why am I watching WWE Raw every Monday?
Yeah. And I don't even have a
Man.
big problem with Titus O'Neil and he's like, oh, I don't have a problem with them, they're fine. But the alligator, oh my God, it's just there's just I have a feeling that Hornswoggle backstage is he just every week he comes up with something really unfunny and stupid for him to do, just so he has something to do so he doesn't get fired. Oh,
Exactly.
I just fear what it's going to be next week. I just really
Yeah.
fear that.
Let's see. We've got a bunny. We've got an alligator. Maybe we'll get a turtle. Let's get a turtle out there
A
and just
ninja's
see what
turtle.
happens. A ninja turtle. Let's put Big Show in as a turtle because he's a big slow guy. Let's put Big Show as a
Well, at
turtle
least
then.
Big Show belongs on the roster.
Yeah, that's true. Let's put El Torito. Let's put El
Oh, he's got to go as
Torito in a
well.
different
I
costume.
said midgets in wrestling, I've never found them funny. Midgets have been a feature in wrestling for years, and I've never found it funny ever. I don't know if you have, I haven't ever.
No, there was one thing where it was kind of funny, and that was a couple of years ago. I think it was 2007, and they had a midget battle royal,
Oh yeah, I remember
and
Midget Kane.
yeah, a midget thing, which was funny, and they had midget Batista and midget Mr. Ant, Mr. Kennedy, sorry,
Oh yeah,
and
Finley, Hornswoggle. Yeah,
yeah,
that was okay, but again.
that was pretty funny. The other stuff, and it was just maybe it was okay because I remember from that match there was a whole bunch of pyro smoke throughout that entire match. So maybe because I couldn't see the actual action
I
going
don't
on,
remember the
maybe it.
smoke, but I remember looking at watching it and thinking, you know, why aren't I doing something else instead of watching this? Because it was just Jesus. And somebody,
Yeah.
an imposter of Kane, I was incredibly offended. Incredibly offended. Oh,
As a massive Kane
yeah.
mark. Yeah, so let's just move on from this because I don't really want to talk about it. The bunny got involved. Enough
Oh, who
said.
cares?
Apparently the bunny is Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, I
Which,
saw that picture. That would be the least interesting uncovering of a costume or so ever. That would literally, I mean, let's say the bunny unmasked next week on, well, sort of unmasked next week on Raw and it's Justin Gabriel. Imagine the crowd reaction. It would just be silence. Like, who would care?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's
imagine
true.
If it was Cameron.
Unless it was Cameron, that'd be interesting.
Jesus.
Count it, ref! Man.
I can't,
to be Mr. McMahon. It's gotta be
it's
Mr.
definitely
McMahon.
A wrestler. If it's Vince, that would be crazy.
I would laugh so hard if it would be Vince McMahon. Just repeat it. It's me, WWE Universe.
It would be
it was me all along.
It has to be something
WWE.
Comedy, so that wouldn't be too bad. I like seeing Vince on TV because I do miss him though. Because instead of him now we get Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble.
Jamie Noble
and Triple H all the time.
Who are the new Stooges? Who are the new Stooges of wrestling?
Yeah,
but you know, there's rumors they're going to bring him back for more wrestling in the future.
Who?
And have him in wrestling matches.
Jamie Noble.
Both Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble.
Oh, they weren't bad wrestlers, to be fair. They weren't bad.
Noble was a very good wrestler. Mm. Noble was a very good wrestler. Mercury was not too bad either.
Yeah, Mercury was all right. And Noble did, considering what he had, Noble did pretty well. He hung around for a long time and made some, he obviously would have made some money. He won some championships. He won his Cruiserweight Championship for a long time. He feuded with Rey Mysterio and stuff. So he did some stuff. So can't really knock him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was a pretty solid wrestler.
Yeah,
he did his he did his job, as a cruiserweight guy. So, all right, let's move on from there, and we go to the Big Show and Rusev promo. What else happened here? The main thing that happened here is that Big Show knocked down the Russian flag, which caused WWE to
apologize.
And
apologizing for that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's awful.
It reminded me of Jericho's thing where he took the flag and kicked.
That was in Brazil, wasn't it?
Got arrested. Mm. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels took a Canadian flag and blew his nose on it, didn't he?
Yeah, screw Michaels.
That is the best thing that can be done with the flag.
Screw Michaels. I've liked Michaels as his matches and all that, but he's like douche overload.
It's funny how much nobody cares about him anymore in such a short period of time. I don't think anybody cares about Shawn Michaels anymore. Although, obviously, a lot of people held him to be, their favorite. He was the favorite of many, to be fair, for a long time.
He was.
Not me.
Yeah, but... Yeah, well, his matches were awesome. Don't get me wrong. We're not, like, knocking his wrestling ability or anything like that. Just as a person and, like, all this stuff coming out. And
yeah, and when he comes back, he's always really, like, goofy and not funny. And over the top, it's like he's like a child. And it's really cringy and painful to watch. Honestly, don't be surprised if he also could be the bunny. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, the bunny is super kicking people. I wouldn't be surprising if Michaels is the bunny.
Oh, God.
But I never really liked Michaels. Like, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Big Van Vader.
Really?
And I just, yeah, I absolutely love Vader. Like, he's one of my favorites. And I just absolutely, like, despise, apparently, the rumors about how Michaels treated Vader backstage. Like, big barrel of crap that he is. And
doesn't surprise me.
Just,
well, Shawn Michaels was a little whiny. He wasn't so good, but I'm surprised that you like Vader. I didn't dislike Vader. I just didn't. He's just not one of those names you hear when people mention their favorites.
I like Vader. I like the big guys that can fly. It just always got to me. Like Vader, Bam Bam Bigelow. You know those guys. Those are some of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Very early Big Show was not too bad. Not one of my favorites, but he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he went into WWE and got the haircut and all that, like I thought he was fine, but
yeah, Big Show did well. I mean, I wasn't a big Big Show fan, but actually for years I didn't actually mind him. I thought he was alright. I didn't have a problem with him.
Yeah.
Not like now when I go do something else when he's on. I think this whole thing with him and Rusev was so predictable. I think it's probably, although to be fair, probably the only thing they can do with Rusev at this point, having viewed a Big Show. I mean, do you want to see this? I don't really care for it personally.
I don't really want to.
It's going
to
be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing as we've seen on the last sort of 6 months, and that's what I'm kind of annoyed about. And don't get me. I know it's kind of old news, but Big Show's finishing move, the knockout punch, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's just a punch, and it's a wrestling punch.
Didn't he acquire that punch because he was in that WrestleMania match with?
Yes, he did.
Weather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Still using it, you know, 6 years later, I believe it is. Yeah, 6 years. So yeah, this segment was not too great. It was okay. It's just, I'm tired. Like, as a Canadian, and I'm sure for you as an Englishman, it's very tiring to see this pro-America stuff happen.
Oh, well,
you know, it's just,
yeah, it's kind of boring. It's recycled because it's been successful. I mean, you can't deny it has worked a lot over the years, so that's why they recycle it. I just think that they should kind of move away and give Rusev a proper feud, because a 1 month thing where you just build him up to beat somebody, that's not a feud. That's just feeding him. But I think we need a feud for him now. And we obviously a lot of speculation about Kurt Angle. I don't see that though. I think Kurt Angle would. If I was Kurt Angle, I would probably want better than Rusev.
Yeah. And Kurt Angle, apparently the rumors going around is that he signed a 1-year contract with a company, and he's going to announce it in January.
January? How would be WWE then? We all know stuff like that's announced in January.
Well, apparently it could, the TV deals that Spike could get, like, they need to get a new TV deal by January, because that's when their deal officially expires, I believe.
When does TNA expire?
And TNA expires in January.
No, TNA in general.
Angle's... Yeah, TNA in general. Angle's contract has already expired.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think around January, it's either Angle at Royal Rumble making his grand return, or it's Angle back in TNA for one more year.
No, I want to see Kurt Angle back in WWE just for one more year and then have him retire. Because he was one of my favorites. I don't know if you liked him. He was one of my favorites, Kurt Angle, when I was younger.
It's damn true.
Most people liked. I think most people liked Kurt Angle. I think Kurt Angle was one of those people who was like a thoroughbred. He was good at everything. And he actually had a lot of funny moments. He was kind of very charismatic. He did a lot of humorous stuff, if you remember, like with Edge and Christian and the milk truck and stuff like that, and Brock Lesnar. And he did a lot of comedy stuff, and with Eddie Guerrero as well. Yeah. So I really enjoyed everything he did, and obviously his matches were like superb. So one of my favorite matches of all time was Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21. If you remember that,
that was a great match.
Yeah, that was probably the first. One of the first WrestleMania matches I really, really enjoyed, because you know, WrestleMania 21 was a good WrestleMania. I still have that actually on DVD. Angle Shawn Michaels was an amazing feud actually. I've always liked everything that Kurt Angle has done.
Yeah. So I definitely agree with you on that, and move on to AJ Lee versus Alicia Fox. I believe this is when Paige announced her new best friend is Alicia Fox, which at least they're utilizing Alicia Fox.
At least she isn't racist.
Something. Yeah, of course. Yeah, no. Because considering how white that Paige is, and just. It's.
A lot of girls in England are very pale, especially as you go further north. Because England isn't Irish as well. England isn't a very, or the UK isn't a very. We have decent weather here, but we don't get much sunlight. Annoyingly, we only get sunlight in the summer. The rest is pretty kind of overcast and damp and grey. So this tends to happen. And a lot of girls are pale. A lot of people are pale around here, even in London. So I'm naturally dark skinned. I'm not so pale, but She Paige looks very pale on TV, and so does Seamus.
Yeah, it's very, very pale. It's a little scary, eh? How pale they are for me, anyways. Seeing how pale somebody is, but I'm sure it's not really, a surprising thing to see
Have you
when
enjoyed the
you're in
feud?
England. So
Hasn't
it's
too bad. It
kind of
hasn't been that
starting to
bad,
reach
I
a
don't
point
think.
where it's going long. No, I just find it's kind of going a little too long, starting to go a little too long. But that's because they're starting to run out of, talent. And I think we're eventually just going to see Alicia Fox turn, and we'll eventually see Paige versus Alicia Fox. I think that's what
Oh,
they're trying
most
to do.
definitely.
We'll move on. We'll go on to Sheamus versus Damian
Mizdow.
Sandow. Mizdow, sorry. This wasn't too bad of a match. A little surprising, but it was pretty competitive. It went on longer than I expected. I thought this was going to be a Sheamus beatdown, but they actually had some time to the
Yeah.
match.
Does anybody else kind of think that
And
Mizdow should win the United States Championship? Because I just think it'd be quite funny if the stunt double has a different championship and Miz has a different one. I think that'd be kind of good.
yeah, that awkward moment. That awkward
Yeah.
moment, for Damian Mizdow. Yeah, it was an interesting
Was a
match.
good match.
Nothing too much. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's just standard wrestling match. Sandow just selling his role like a champ. Sheamus also selling his role pretty well. Not like a champ, which is kind of ironic because Sheamus is US champion, but
No.
So nothing
Why
too
is
much we can
Sheamus
really say
doing
about
nothing?
this.
I don't like Sheamus.
I
It's just,
know.
but if he isn't doing nothing, then he can't be good. He can't entertain if he's doing nothing. Why doesn't he just
Yeah,
yeah, why
exactly.
doesn't he just turn heel? I don't understand what they're waiting for with him. I bet he's frustrated. I don't really care for him, but
Oh yeah.
it's better for him to be doing something than doing nothing.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting Cesaro Sheamus double turn, which Cesaro turns face and Sheamus
Yeah.
turns heel. And I was kind of waiting for that because they're both kind of at that stage right now where they need to make a
Yeah.
change.
Oh yeah, definitely. And Cesaro is looking
And
more and more like Taz every week, if you've noticed.
yeah, with the
Oh.
hood over his head. Soon we'll have to have Cesaro with the FTW on his wrestling tights and the number 13, and soon Cesaro's gonna have to shrink into like 5'9" and have to start doing many different variations of
Oh.
suplexes. Then you've got a new Taz
Yeah,
to
Swiss
wield
Taz.
around. Yeah. But Taz was a very good wrestler, but announcing wise, he's okay. He has his moments. Like people love really crapping on him on Impact, but when he's real, but when he does, get on, in terms of announcing, he can do pretty well. I mean, him and Michael Cole were a pretty good
Well, a lot of
tandem,
his
in my opinion, so.
commentary became kind of legendary, like his catchphrases, like Rocket Buster. If you remember that, I'm trying to think
Yeah,
of any
exactly.
more. I can't think of any at the
Yeah.
moment, but that's the only one that springs to mind. But yeah, I mean, if people still
Yeah.
remember his stuff, then he wouldn't have been too bad.
Yeah. So move on to the final
Oh, the final
segment of
segment
the show.
was awful. The final segment, every single rule we get now is the same. It's the same five or six or four people just mixed around in different variations, just getting the same matches every week. I'm really not liking it at all. And every week is the same thing. It's
Yeah.
always Reigns. I'm sorry. It's always Kane and Rollins and Orton just standing in the ring with, or standing on the ramp facing the same people, whether it be Cena or Ambrose or Reigns. It's just the same people doing the same things every week. And every week it's it, oh we're gonna let's do a beat down on Ambrose this week, let's do a beat down on Cena this week, and it's just old and boring for me. It really is. I really hate the main event angle at the moment. Really hate it. What about you?
Yeah, these main events are just getting way too ridiculous, because they're just so similar every week. Like nothing, no
They're identical.
variation. Just the authority just posing over, Fallen John Cena and Ambrose. It's just It's getting ridiculous. The match itself was alright. Yeah. Not too bad.
Kane and Randy Orton are one of the blandest henchmen ever. Blandest.
Yeah.
Watching them two is like...
Yeah.
You know like when you're eating dinner and you have like the vegetables and you don't really want to eat the vegetables, but you just sort of cram them all in because you have to watch it. It's like taking Kane and Randy Orton, it's like taking your two least favourite vegetables and just cramming them right down. It's just that bad.
Yeah. That's such a perfect analogy. That is a perfect
analogy.
That's
so bland. So bland.
It's just so bland. It's so bland. It's just... And it's repetitive, bland, and, you know,
and it's,
not innovative.
And it's Randy Orton. And he isn't even the worst thing going at the moment. But he isn't good.
No.
My God.
Yeah.
What did you think of Raw overall? A rating?
You know, it's definitely a lot better than Raw last week. It started out well. Kind of just ended very weakly. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. Like, it was better than last week's Raw. There was some interesting stuff. The Intercontinental title match was very, very good in my opinion. There was some good stuff, but then it was really bogged down with Layla and Rosa Mendez. And there was also, you know, Slater Gator.
Yeah, the bunny, the main event. Yeah, 5.5, 6. I'd give it a 5.5, 6 for the same reasons. It showed promise at times, and then momentum was just taken away. Like, they got the crowd excited, and then they just took it away, and they kept doing that every sort of half an hour. So yeah, I'd give it no more than probably a 5.5, which isn't too bad for the last few roles we've had.
Yeah, that's. I'm kind of being a little bit generous with this rating just because the Raws the past couple of weeks have been just so bland, boring, uninteresting that we actually get an average Raw and it's like the world is going to explode because something is actually. There's actually some progression.
And next week it'll probably all disintegrate.
It will all just go down again. We don't even have any matches booked at all in a cell, do we? Like, we have none.
When's the event?
I don't think we have any, as far as I know. The event's, I think late October.
What's the date? What's the date of the event?
I mean, it's... I'll search it up here, but I think it's, like, October 29th or something like that. Like, very close to Halloween, I believe. I'll check on here, Hell in a Cell.
What do you do for Halloween in Canada?
We go do the costumes, all that, and go door to door, get candy, all that. October 26th is when the costume's going to take place. And today is October 4th.
I can't tell. Actually, it's October 5th, actually. Actually, it's October the 5th.
Oh, difference. I'm sorry. I forgot about time zone difference. As we're recording this right now, it's October 4th here.
It's October 5th here.
As the podcast is gonna get up, it's gonna be October 5th here, and maybe October 6th, late October 5th.
I can't tell which event I'm least looking forward to: Hell in a Cell or Halloween. Both will be awful. Can't stand Halloween. Yeah. Can't stand it. It's really not celebrated that wildly over here. It really isn't. I'm glad about that.
It's sold pretty well.
That's because you lot have got nothing else to do.
Okay, we got hockey. We got Tim Hortons.
Just an excuse for a day of work.
We got polar bears. we got polar bears. We got everything here, man.
How do you have polar
bears? Yeah, how do you think we get to work every day?
You have polar bears. Oh, my goodness.
How do you think we get to work every day? We take a car? What's a car? All we know is polar bears, dog sleds.
You live in an igloo.
All here in Canada. Yeah, I live in an igloo, and I warm myself with Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh.
Yeah, that's that. Oh yeah, speaking my fluent French.
You don't
speak
French ever, do you?
I only speak French briefly, and that's if I'm in.
Oh, okay. Is it popular? Is it sort of like when you go to the south of America, everybody speaks kind of Spanish? Is that basically what it is?
If you go further down in Quebec, yeah. It's similar where you go further down in the south, the further down You find different people. If you go further down in Quebec, you'll find.
Thankfully, we don't have that here, really. Only with immigrants, which is less sweet, which is about 60% of London.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's get to the questions here. If you have any questions, again, said at the beginning of the show, but we'll say it again. Tweet us at Atlantic Angle, or you can send it your email. We are at the Atlantic Angle at gmail.com. You can send emails there. We'll answer your questions there. So yeah, let's go right ahead with the first question we got here. Let's go. This one is from at Official Turbo. What, in your opinion, was the best tag team out of WWE / WWF? So what is your, what do you think is the best WWF tag team?
WWF. I really, really enjoyed the Dudley Boys. I really enjoyed their work with tables and stuff like that. They kind of revolutionized. They have their own style. So for WWF period, it would be a tie up between obviously the Dudley Boys and Kane and the Undertaker, because they were obviously like red hot years ago. So those two for WWF. WWE, nothing recent really. I like Goldust and Cody Rhodes, but they won't be ranked up there with the best ever. But they've been decent. They've been pretty good. Trying to think. Yeah. Team Hell No, I really enjoyed WWE, and also Just trying to think. No, probably I wasn't a huge fan of DX. I don't know if you were, but I wasn't a massive fan of DX. So I'd probably go with Team Hell No.
They were
with this era and the Dudley Boys, WWF. What about you?
For WWF, I've always been a fan of the Hardy Boys, and I've always been a fan of the Dudley Boys as well. I grew up watching Edge and Christian, so they're definitely one of my favorite tags teams. I like the Road Warriors as well. I thought they were a good team. Demolition is an underrated team. They don't really get mentioned a lot as one of the greatest tag teams. In terms of WWE. I like Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas.
They were a good,
interesting tag team. Yeah, they were a good tag team.
Kane and RVD.
Tag teams. Did I like Kane and RVD? That was an interesting tag team. Kane has always had very interesting tag partners.
Daniel Bryan. Did you like Edge and Randy Orton?
I thought they were not too bad. Rated RKO was not too bad. I like it more because Edge was in it, and again, I like.
You're biased.
But it's like Randy Orton's there as well, so it's like, how do I, should I like this team or should I not like this team?
You know? He wasn't too bad at that time.
Yeah. It's just. Yeah, so I guess those were some of my favorite tag teams. I can't really think of any other. I thought Eminem was okay.
Mm. Batista and Rey Mysterio weren't too bad.
Yeah, the turn from Batista was interesting. I think that's what they're going to be more remembered by, is that big turn. We're all good. I think we're all good for tag teams. So let's go to the next question here. We'll take. We've got two questions here from Matt Fight Best Fight, who is now officially a new member.
And so will you be soon,
Powerhouse. So, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Just we'll think about it. But I've kind of put in an interesting situation now, Eric. I've got one of my listeners, part of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. My co-host from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse.
You've got no choice.
So.
You've got to turn heel.
I can't turn heel. I gotta turn heel. But anyways, his question was: are there any moments where you question why you were still a wrestler?
Every week. Every week for something, only momentarily. One thing you should probably know is that I'm not the biggest wrestling fan. I've been watching for 12 years. And I've always had breaks. I don't know about you. I've had breaks. I've never watched constantly. I usually have a break maybe once a year, once every 2 years. And it usually lasts for about 3 months. So that's just that, but that's based, that's, I don't schedule it. That's just when I get sick of it. So I was kind of debating having one, a few weeks back, but it was, I'm now part of a site and do stuff like this, so it becomes harder to kind of walk away from it. And I'm obviously still a fan, so as I have those little moments a lot. Do you?
Yeah, I've never really had a break where it was extended
When
to
did
the
you start
point of
watching?
like 3 months. I started watching in 04, and I went
2 years after me.
and I stopped in 2000. I stopped in 2008 actually, and that was when I was just a casual fan, right? And I stopped in 2008 when they made all the changes to the sets and all that, and I just was kind of, not interested anymore. And then I actually came back in 2011 from the CM Punk pipe bomb
Oh,
promo,
okay,
actually. Yeah, the promo actually made me come back to watch it. And I actually, when I first saw it, I thought it was legit because I had not seen it for years. And when I first heard about the promo and went to see it, I thought it was a
All right.
legit promo. And that's how I got into the dirt sheets. And that's essentially how I'm here today as a podcast host, spewing off the stuff and noticing all the stuff wrong in WWE,
Oh,
which is
yeah.
every single week. But yeah, ever since 2011, I've never really had a. There was one moment where it was in, I think it was 2012 when they announced that Hornswoggle was the
Yeah, that
mystery
was just
GM
awful.
after all that time. When I saw that, man, I was so distraught. I was like, screw this company. They're gonna treat me like I'm so dumb. I told myself I was gonna watch TNA from now on, just watch Impact. And then a month later, I watched a Raw, and it was really, really good. And then I'm back to where I am here today. So
Stuck with me.
I still watch TNA time and time again, but.
Let me think.
So.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered that question.
Yeah. Second question from at Fight Best Fight. If you watch NXT, who are some of your favorites and why?
I don't watch NXT because I don't have the network, but I can answer the question briefly. I enjoy William Regal. I know he's not full time. I enjoy William Regal. I always have. I enjoy. Let me think. Who do I enjoy? Adrian Neville, because he's obviously so exciting to watch. His finisher. The finisher is the best
And he's
finisher
British.
in
He's
wrestling
British.
today, in my opinion.
Yeah. And he's
Yeah, he's from
English, so
Newcastle.
bonus.
Let me think. Adrian Neville. Sami Zayn's okay. I don't think he'll be as big as everybody's expecting. Tyler Breeze is okay. Enzo Amore is alright too. I'm more interested in the new guys, the new three. I'm more interested in Steen and Devitt and Kenta. By the way, is Kevin
Yeah.
Steen still called Kevin Steen?
They haven't debuted Kevin Steen yet. They haven't. Right now, he's still Kevin Steen. But with the other two wrestlers, because Devitt got his name
Unfit.
changed, I don't know if you know that.
Is it
Finn
not
Balor,
unfit?
or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
Yeah.
it
Yeah,
was.
Finn Balor. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
awful.
Finn
I don't know
Balor.
that at all.
Well, I actually like I looked into the background of the name, and it's actually a pretty cool thing because it was based off a story, a famous Irish story, in
Oh.
which he's from, right? So it was pretty interesting. And Kenta's name is Hideo Itami, and he said it's supposed to be like a tribute to one of his old
Yeah.
friends, or old mentors. And I believe Hideo is part of the
Hideo
new
Itami was a
baseball
baseball
player he
player,
really
yeah.
admired. No, the Hideo part was part of a baseball player, but Itami is
Oh,
actually Japanese for
okay.
pain. which is actually, when you look at the neighbors, like, wow, that's kind of cool, you know. So I follow a little baseball. Yeah, I mean, Blue Jays are out, so I haven't been too much into it, but
baseball's not even on telly over here. You could probably answer that question a little better than me because you have the network.
Yeah, watching NXT, I do like Neville. He's very good, very good high flyer. Mike's skills need to work, a lot of work actually, in my opinion. But I think he can get over with his moves. The people I really like, I do like Sami Zayn. People are seeing the Daniel Bryan thing. I think he's more charismatic than Daniel Bryan. I think he'll mold into something special because he's his own person. Because people are saying he's like Daniel Bryan, but the thing is, I find Sami Zayn way more charismatic than Daniel Bryan.
Really?
And yeah, because I just when you see Sami Zayn, he just kind of like, you know, grabs your attention. Well, the thing with Daniel Bryan is like he's very much over with the yes chants and the technical wrestling aspect. His mic skills are decent. They're not amazing. But you know, like Sami Zayn played a character in the Indies, El Generico, that really got over with the crowd because it was unique, and all that. And it was also pretty funny too, the way they utilized it. So I think Sami Zayn will be his own person. Some of the favorites that I'm really looking forward to when they, start being pushed a bit more, I'm very excited to see how Baron Corbin does. Baron Corbin, for those who don't know, used to play for the Arizona Cardinals as a old lineman. He's a big guy, 6'8", 300 pounds.
What sport is that? Is that NFL?
NFL football, yeah. Although they're signing a massive goalkeeper.
Tim Vysa.
I don't know.
I've seen him play. Yeah, obviously, he plays a sport that I follow, and yeah, I've seen him before loads of times. He's actually been around for a long time, about 10 years on the main stage, and I didn't actually know that he wanted to do this, and I saw a picture of him fairly recently, and he's huge.
He's jacked like crazy, but anyways, Baron Corbin, he's got a very interesting look. It's very interesting how they're building him up now. With the look and the theme song, it all works very well with each other, and the way he's going in, he's definitely a lot better than Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley is the Cameron.
Well, yeah. Like, the thing is, when he first debuted, I kind of saw, you know, he's got some charisma. You know, maybe he could get himself over. And if he could improve in the next couple of months, you know, maybe he could be, you know, a solid NXT player. But the thing is, he hasn't improved, really, ever since he's gone on. He's just kind of been doing the same moves. And he hasn't adapted very well into the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
So I think, and now NXT is starting to see that, really, and they're starting to push him down a lot more. I'm not as big of a hater on Bull Dempsey as other people are.
Well, he's Rhino. He's Rhino version too.
I think. Yeah, he is Rhino. Wasn't he trained by Rhino God. As well?
Probably is
like,
Rhino.
That's what I heard. Apparently, he was trained Rhino. He probably is Rhino. Maybe it's Rhino's son. Who knows? But I see Bull Dempsey, and I'm like, yeah, it's a Rhino knockoff, really. It's funny because like it is a Rhino knockoff because they're calling him Bull. It's essentially like, you know, a bull is known for charging and a rhino is known for charging, right? So, other guys, you mentioned Enzo Amore. He's a much better manager than a wrestler. I think he deserves to be in that manager spot because when I see him wrestle, he's not the greatest wrestler in the world. But his charisma and his mic skills are very, very good.
Well, he's got good catchphrases going for him, which always helps you.
It's SAWFT soft. That's a good catchphrase. I like it. It's very catchy. But any other wrestlers that I like? I do like Breeze. Kid's doing pretty well down there. The fort's okay. Yeah, I think that essentially covers it. But again, I'm so excited
Sting.
To see how
I want
to
see Sting.
Hideo Itami develops. You want to see Sting? Are you sure you don't want to
no.
see Borden
Sting? No, I said
Sting. NXT.
Yeah.
Oh, Sting.
In NXT,
oh,
God, no.
I'm like, yeah, no. Let's no. First of all, if he goes to NXT, his name's gonna be changed
mm-hmm.
to Borden Stevens.
Oh God.
You know. but yeah. And I think you had a question as well.
Yeah, I'll let you answer this one first. Let me find
okay.
it. It's from at Just Arsenal FC. He's asking, is WWE fun? Is WWE fun?
It depends on how you look at it. If you look at it from a 7-year-old's perspective, yes. If you look at it from a casual fan's perspective, maybe. If you look at it from a very hardcore fan's perspective, you want to shoot yourself
God.
Every week. It's just...
I don't think there's anything really...
It's WWE
that
fun.
...is maintaining or breeding the attention of of casual fans now. I don't think, you know, the sort of fans who flick through the television, see wrestling, and kind of think, oh, maybe I'll watch this for a bit. Wrestling right now, is it really good enough to want to be able to keep those... that group of fans coming back for more? I don't think it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that covers it. I don't know if you have any other questions
okay.
to add in. Or...
Mm.
All right, so that was our second ever edition of the Atlantic Angle. Again, before we head off, sorry, I need to just say... thanks to our email subscriber, Hope Crespin. Thank you subscribing to us. Of course, if you want to subscribe to us, be one of the first people to
mm-hmm.
listen to this podcast, go to our website, www.theatlanticangle.blogspot.com, and you can be one of the first people to listen to the podcast and, you know, definitely check it out. And if you want to send in questions every week, tweet them to the @AtlanticAngle, or if you don't have Twitter, or you want to say ask a longer question, or if you want to send opinions, we'll take any. You can send an email to theatlanticangle @gmail.com, and anything you want to close off on before we head off?
Yeah, go. If anybody's listening, go over to Twitter and follow me at Oliver NORGROVU. Follow. So check out prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, which Zach will be joining very soon. nothing else really on my mind at the moment, to be honest with you. So yeah, it was a good episode, and make sure everybody it's much easier to find us now because we're on different outlets, Stitcher and iTunes and stuff. So hopefully it will breed more kind of conversation and more attention from people, so should be good.
Yeah, exactly. And for all listeners to this, please make sure to share us on Stitcher Radio. Tell everybody about the Atlantic Angle. Download it, subscribe to us on iTunes, and check
and
out the website
questions coming.
As well. Keep the questions coming. Yeah, we liked
the good ones.
Your questions. again, tweet us at Atlantic Angle or email us theatlanticangle@gmail.com, and we will take your questions. We will record them. I'm hoping to get these out, these podcasts out every Sunday
uh-huh.
early morning. So check those out. Again, early morning here in North
that's
America.
That's like afternoon here.
If you're in, United Kingdom, it's afternoon. Just thank you all for tuning into the Atlantic Angle, and all right.